Well, good morning, everybody. Everybody's always throwing me curveballs up here. You know I get nervous, so you can't be stuffing this pulpit with moon pies. It's a distraction. What are we doing today? We are here. We have, I know we've already mentioned it, but we have a VBS sign-up sheet on that. If you walk straight out this door to that cork board back there, there's a couple sign-up sheets. VBS is one of them. Also, Jared Davis has asked if we could bring some people to help him move, organize their new space, help them organize their new space and their new church. That will be on June 28th and 29th, and I gather that the fair will be going on during then. Is that right? That's okay. Some of us will sacrifice the fair for the kingdom of God. So we will go to, let's see here. 5 o'clock Friday afternoon, he said 5 to 9 or 5 to 10, and then Saturday from 10 to 5. So we need, I think he said 10 volunteers would be ideal. So be praying about that. And if you are going to go, please sign up so that I will know, so that I can communicate with you plans. Happy Father's Day. We've got gifts. What are these? Cookies. It looks like way more than 75. I could be wrong. TJ, where'd you get that number? Oh, I guess she would know. She made them. So I want to have all the fathers stand, and we're going to pray for you guys, if that suits you. And if it doesn't, then sorry, we're going to do it anyways. Look at all these fathers, some good, some bad. I'm just kidding. Fatherhood is not easy, I know, because I do it. And it's a daily struggle and a daily challenge, and we do a lot of things right and we do a lot of things wrong. So we need prayer, and I'll be the one to pray for us, and I'm including myself in this right now. So Heavenly Father, thank you for the men in this room, that they are here in this church, that they would point their children, no matter how old their children are, they would continually point their children to Jesus. We men fail often, and the women would probably shout amen right now, but we fail pretty often, and doesn't mean that we want to, but we do. But Lord, we every day we wake up, we want to honor you and serve you, and from the overflow of our hearts, we should point our children to you and our wives and everybody else around us. I'm just grateful for the men that they could be anywhere this morning, but they're here in this church celebrating you first off. But Lord, I'm just grateful that you've placed so many fathers in this church, and just allow us to run the race well. And like I said, point our children to and grandchildren to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. And grab your cookies when church is over. Or if you get bored, come up here and grab them now. You can eat them. Okay, last week, let's see where we are this week. Mark chapter 3. We're going to get through 3 today, and we're going to get halfway through 4, I think. So last week, Jesus' family said that he was out of his mind. You remember that? We learned that the world would see us as crazy as we follow Jesus. We learned that people will hit your car in the Kroger parking lot and pretend like they didn't. And yes, Heather did go back and listen to the sermon. She was not in the room when that happened. And Rodney, I was on the front porch. We were all on the front porch. Well, Heather and I were on the front porch, and Rodney drives by, and he started saying something about the car, and I just go, and he said, oh, okay, because she hadn't heard the sermon yet, you know, and but she has now, and she didn't even find any damage. I told you there was no damage. She didn't find any damage, so praise the Lord for that. So we are going to skim this last little section of Mark chapter 3 this morning. Verses 31 through 35. And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And the crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. And he answered them, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. So think about the will of God. We hear that a lot, and we tend to overcomplicate it, I think. So a question you might ask yourself is, how in the world am I supposed to know what God's will is for my life? Me personally, I've never woken up and walked outside and seen a bush on fire that was speaking to me. Has that happened to anybody in here? It happened to Moses. It didn't happen, but I don't think it's happened to anybody in here. I don't look up and hear from God through a thick cloud. He does not send angels down to talk to me. But I will tell you what did happen in my life. I'm going to take a little side street to get there. You know how when Benita Scott leaves for a week or 10 days to get away from Dale, Dale has a famous catchphrase. He says, "She left me in my hour of need." I don't know how many times I've heard that in 1 year's time, but it's been more than 10. He has many hours of need, okay? Well, several years ago, my friend from back home, Mac Marie, shared the gospel with me during my hour of need, and it fell into fertile soil. And I was saved by grace through faith in Jesus. And that seed sprouted and gave me a desire to know and understand God's will for my life. Like I said, God did not speak to me through a burning bush or a thick cloud. He spoke to me through the mouth of somebody else first, but then through the Word of God. God speaks to us through His Word, the Bible, okay? God's Word tells us plenty of things not to do. It says, do not kill, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not worship other gods. But God's Word also gives us plenty of directives on things that we should be doing. It says, preach the Word, be ready in season and out of season. God's Word says, pray without ceasing. It says, be anxious for nothing. It says, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So I know that I'm supposed to be preaching the Word, not just up here, but to my friends, to my family, to people that I meet. But for my life, it also means on Sunday mornings. Now, that isn't for everyone, but we are all expected to preach the Word in season, out of season, whenever. Sometimes it's inconvenient, like when somebody runs into you at Kroger and then says that they didn't do it. That was pretty inconvenient, and I dropped the ball, and I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry for that. But I know that I'm supposed to be preaching the Word in season, out of season, and up here during this season of life. I know that I'm supposed to be living prayerfully always. I know that I'm not supposed to be consumed with anxiety if I'm trusting fully in the Lord. I know that I'm supposed to be making disciples and continuously pointing people to Jesus. And because of my relationship with Christ, these are the desires of my heart now. They didn't used to be my desires, but because of my relationship with Christ and devotion to His Word, these are the things I want for my life, because these are the things that He wants for my life. And this is for all of us, okay? That last line in that passage was, for whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. So these commands, preach the Word, be ready in season, out of season, pray without ceasing, be anxious for nothing, and to make disciples, these aren't just for pastors and deacons and people that are in the limelight or whatever. These commands are for the believers in Jesus. Excuse me. All people that have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus, these commands are for you. All people that have been planted in fertile soil, and we're going to talk about soil here in a minute. So keep these things in your mind as we continue on this morning. We will talk about the will of God at the end of the sermon today. So we're going to move on to Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. And I'm going to get a drink of water and try not to eat a moon pie. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land, and he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears, let him hear. So we're going to hit the pause button for a minute before Jesus goes on in the next couple of verses to explain this parable. But I just wanted to say that I feel like I've been hammering the whole crowd versus called contrast in the book of Mark. And I've been doing it because Jesus has been doing it. So Jesus was not impressed with the large crowds that were following him. He knew that they would likely never produce fruit in their lives because the word that he was teaching them was like seed falling into poor soil. Jesus knew that the message he was delivering was not going to connect with everyone in the same way. So he goes on in the next couple of verses to explain the parable. He says, verse 10, "And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, 'To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven.' And he said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are sown, the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those who were sown on good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. So in this parable, the seed represents the word of God, and the sower is the servant of God who shares the word with others. And these soil types, there's four soil types, represent the human heart. So everyone in here has a heart, I hope. It sure seems like it because you're looking at me and you're not laid over on the ground. Okay. The human heart is like soil. The heart must be prepared to receive the seed before the seed can take root and produce a fruit. Now, as I've studied this week, all I can think about is my poor, pathetic garden out there that all the plants are either yellow or brown, and it's all. And I'm thinking about it right now. That poor garden has me caring for it, but that's a side note. So the heart must be prepared to receive the seed before that seed can take root and produce fruit. Remember, the seed is the word of God, and the word is alive and able to produce spiritual fruit. But the seed must be planted and cultivated before the harvest will come. So there's four types of soil in this parable. The soil that falls on the path, the soil that is in rocky ground, the soil that contains thorns and weeds, and good soil. Okay? Now, in this parable, there are four types of people or four types of hearts represented. The hard-hearted person is the seed that falls on the path. The shallow-hearted person is the seed that falls on rocky ground. The crowded-hearted person is the seed that contains thorns. And the fruitful-hearted person falls into good soil. So I want to break down each of those. So the seed that falls on the path, or the hard-hearted person, starts with verse 13. I think I broke these out for you. There you go. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them." So if you think about, if we all went outside and walked on a path of dirt, if we all went out and walked on my garden, it'd probably be the best thing that happened to it. But that soil is going to get really hard and compact. And if you try to cast, say you broadcast seed on that, it's not going to penetrate because it's too hard. So if we sowed seeds on this path, this parable says that birds would come down and just pluck it right up. And those birds represent Satan. So gospel seeds fall on a hard heart. Satan takes them right away because a person is too stubborn to care. Okay? The pride, sin makes our hearts hard. And the prideful sinner thinks, and I want to hit a, when I was reading over this morning, I said the prideful thinner, and it made me think of Mike Tyson. And I was like, okay, we're really getting distracted, aren't we? The prideful sinner thinks he has everything all figured out. The prideful sinner thinks he has everything all figured out. He's allowed himself to become his own God. What he doesn't realize is that he can't be God because there's only one God. So he's lost the battle. This prideful sinner has lost the battle before he ever even knew he was in it. There's a spiritual battle going on, whether you want to admit it or not. You're either with God or you're against God. And if you're against God, you're with Satan. So it's binary. It's zero or one. It's God or Satan. Those are your options, okay? So when the Word of God tries to penetrate this hardened heart, Satan snatches it right up because this hard-hearted person doesn't have any need, want, or desires for the things of God. So do not be this hard-hearted person. Your life on earth will be fruitless, and your eternal destination will be tragic. So if we move on to the shallow-hearted person, where the seed falls on rocky ground, okay? Verse 16. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. So if we plant seed on shallow soil, it might sprout up, but then it's going to die because it doesn't have enough depth for root. So this is a shallow-hearted person represented here. And a shallow-hearted person might hear the word of God and get really excited for a little bit of time, maybe even months, possibly even a few years. And this person, as I read this, and study this, I think this person would be a highly emotional person, seeking some sort of feeling, some sort of, you know, if I follow God, I'm supposed to feel a certain way. I'm supposed to, I'm supposed to see these certain things. So a seed might sprout in this shallow soil, but it's not deep enough. There's not enough depth in this person for them to really sustain their faith. So the shallow-hearted person might joyfully accept the word for a period of time. I don't know how much time. But they don't understand the devotion that it takes to follow Jesus. And their enthusiasm quickly fades when their next emotion sprouts up. So maybe they're in a season of depression or just a season of melancholy. Just things aren't really going well. They say, well, I'm following Jesus and I don't feel good about it. So I'm just going to walk away from the faith. So a shallow-hearted person quickly loses sight of the glory of God and puts their faith in the way something or anything makes them feel. And I would say this to the shallow-hearted person. Your feelings, and I'd say this to all of you, myself included, your feelings and emotions are not God. God is God, and you should revel in His glory rather than how something makes you feel. So if we move on to the crowded-hearted person who's planted in thorns, verse 18, and others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. So the crowded heart is very distracted. There's many, many things going on in the world that are vying for our attention. So the crowded heart has too many things going on for the word of God to sink into their heart. There's too much focus on comfort and pleasure and productivity and success to stop and accept the grace of God that's freely offered to all of us. All of these things are fleeting and don't do a bit of good for the kingdom of God. Your personal pleasure, your personal comfort, and your personal success will not grow the kingdom of God. These things are fun on earth, no doubt. We've all experienced some level of personal pleasure, some level of personal comfort, and some level of personal success. We've all felt these things, and they do make us feel good. But if we're not using these things for the kingdom, then they're no good at all. So all of these things will fade away, and you cannot take them to heaven with you. And I would actually say it's likely that if these things are the focus of your life, you will ride them straight to hell apart from Christ. So these three soil types have one thing in common. They're no good. They are without true and genuine change or belief. They are without repentance and turning toward God. So the person with a hardened heart is full of pride and doesn't desire God. The person with a shallow heart is full of emotions and desires for their feelings to be their God. And the person with a crowded heart is consumed by shiny distractions and the comforts and habits of this world. But we still have one more soil type. We still have one more bit of good news today. The fruitful heart is different. The fruitful heart often starts out broken. So we might find ourselves at a low point in life through some sort of circumstance. We might find ourselves heartbroken over something that we've seen or experienced in the world. We might find ourselves feeling empty from all the things that the world says are good. We might find ourselves on our knees in desperation, and God meets us there with a seed sower. Somebody comes and shares the gospel with us. Same happened to me. I was at a point of indifference, apathy, not total desperation, not total depression, just apathetic about life. Yeah, I'll go to work. I'll raise a family. Whatever. You know, that's who I was. I was a C's get degrees guy. You know, I was gonna get through it, but I wasn't gonna be anything to write home about, that's for sure. So somebody came and shared the gospel with me, and it was good news. And it didn't really even take the first, it didn't hit me the first time. It took from this same person. It took a bit of convincing, okay? So, but I could see the fruit. I could see that this guy was planted in good soil, and he had something. There I go again. He had something that I didn't have. So I kept prying and asking questions, and the seed ended up landing on good soil. So we hear the word of God, and it falls on rich and fertile soil, hopefully. The soil is fertile because God fired up some massive tiller and churned up the soil of our heart so that the seed will fall into good ground. So let's break down the good soil or the fruitful heart, starting in verse 20. That's the only verse we have left. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. I'm going to read that again. But those who were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. So here is the question of the day that I hope is screaming. I know I've been a little distracted today. I've got Mike Tyson on my brain, moon pies at my feet. One of the songs that, I don't know if y'all know this about James or not, but he speaks in him. And one of the songs that we sang said "or" about three times. So if instead of saying "over" in real life, James says "or." I mean, geez, saves a syllable. Give me a break. Excuse me. So I'm distracted. But here, if I put you to sleep, this is the part where you wake up and you listen for just five more minutes. This is the question I hope that's screaming in your head right now. How do I know what kind of soil I've been planted in? Was I planted in good soil? Was I planted in amongst the thorns? I seem to fade in and out of this thing that we call church. Was I planted along the path where the birds came immediately? How do I know? How do I know the condition of my heart? How do I know where I stand before God? Were the seeds of the word planted in my fertile heart as God desires, or in my hardened heart that Satan loves? Here's an easy and simple way to examine your own heart. Are you ready for it? It's really complex. Look for the fruit in your life. Okay? Jesus mentioned it. I've read it several times over the last couple minutes. He's mentioned it more than once. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. So to know the condition of your walk with Jesus, examine your heart and look for fruit. Is there fruit in your life or not? There either is or there isn't. Pretty simple gauge to understand. I'm in the word. I'm fellowshipping with other believers. I'm being discipled. I'm also discipling. And I'm seeing fruit in my life. And hopefully other people are seeing fruit in my life. Okay? So that's how you know. Are you producing fruit? Are you loving people well? Are you spending time alone with God? Are you turning from your sin on a daily basis? Are you praying for people? And I don't just mean praying people back to life physically. I mean praying for people's spiritual conditions. Not conditions, condition. You're either lost or you're saved. That's the condition. Are you praying for people's salvation? I feel like this is something we don't do enough of. We pray a lot of people back to physical health, which is valid. We must do that. But are we praying for their soul? Are you doing your part in making disciples? Are you pointing people to Christ at your workplace? Is Jesus the heart of your life, or are you the heart of your life? That's the gauge. That's the gauge. How do I know? Is Jesus more important than me, or am I more important than Jesus? There's your answer right there, okay? So examine your heart this morning. One of my favorite passages in Scripture is this from Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 24. We're going to close with this morning because it's also a good gauge. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So, as we think about these seeds, allow the seeds of the gospel to penetrate your heart this morning and land on fertile soil, because Jesus died on the cross for us so that we would live for Him. And this doesn't mean 10% of the time that we live for Jesus, or we live for Jesus Sunday mornings when we're here at church. This means that we're to live for Him 100% of the time. He's called us to a life of fruitfulness, continually pointing people to Him until we pass from this earth to be with Him forever. And Paul says it this way. The Apostle Paul says, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That means while we're here on this earth, our main focus should be pointing people to Jesus. Okay? And then when we die, we get to be with Him. Simple as that. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. If that clicks with you, if you understand what that means and you're living it out, chances are you were planted in fertile soil, I would say. So I want to leave you with this thought this morning. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if the seeds of God's words have been sown in your heart and have landed on fertile soil, the evidence of that should be obvious to other people. If you know and love Jesus, people should be able to see it in the way you act, in the way you speak, in the way you love others, in the way you talk about Jesus and all He's done for you. Good fruit should be easy to see, and it's very desirable for people to see. So remember from last week, Jesus' own family thought He was crazy. The world is going to think you're crazy for following Jesus. But if the Holy Spirit is in you, you will be producing so much fruit that the world should desire what they see in you. So shower the world with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, and cast gospel seeds among the world and see where they fall. Share Jesus with people, even when it's scary, even when it's inconvenient, even when you don't have the energy for it, even when you're distracted by Mike Tyson and moon pies. Cast these gospel seeds. It's not that scary. And when your frequency increases, the more often you do it, thank you, Sarah, prod me along, the more frequency, the more often that you do it, the more comfortable you will be with it, the better you will get with it, and you'll see, you know, I am living my faith out. And then it gets exciting. That's when it gets exciting, is when you really start living your faith out on a daily basis. Here on Wednesday night, a couple weeks ago, we talked about, and I might have said it from up here before, but you know, you go on a mission trip, or you go to church camp or something, and you come back all fired up. Well, why? Or you serve at VBS. Shameless plug for VBS sign up sheet back there. You serve at VBS and you're all fired up about Jesus for a week, and then you get back to in your normal routine. And by normal routine, I mean you go back to work and you don't talk about Jesus with people, and you don't pray with folks, and you don't live boldly, and you think, well, how come last week at the mission trip I felt so energized and excited? Well, it's because you're not living on mission in your normal life, okay? So that's all. That's what God has called us to do every single day. So do it every day. This is God's will for our lives. He explains it over and over and over that we're to make disciples. Preach the word in season, out of season. Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about sharing the gospel. Share the gospel, okay? I hope that a seed has been planted today in some fertile soil. I hope that if you've been coming to church for a long time and you think, well, I might have been planted amongst the rocky, shallow soil. Repent of that. Start today in the fertile ground, you know. That's what He's called us to. He's called us to a life of fruitfulness. He plants us in fertile soil. He wants us to be in fertile soil so that we can produce fruit. And that fruit is the evidence of your faith. Okay? I don't have a good stopping point. We're going to stop right here. That's it. There should be fruit in your life. It should be easy to see out in the world. The world is lost. If this lady from Kroger is watching, she hasn't repented by now. Something is wrong. But the world is just an awful place. Has anybody? It's awful, you know? And we are to be the light to the world. So let's leave out of here and go do that, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the lessons that you teach us through your word and the messages that you give us. But give us the common sense to allow it to sink into fertile soil and change our lives and go out into the world and be loving and joyful and peaceful and patient and kind and good and faithful and self-controlled and generous and merciful and gracious. Just let us be what you would be if you were here standing among us. And I pray that if there's anybody here that thinks they were planted in along the path or planted in the rocky soil or planted amongst the thorns 20 or 30 years ago, that they come forward and say, what does it look like for me to start living this life in the rich soil that God wants me to live in? What's the first step for me? What do I do? I just pray that if anybody wants to deepen their relationship or start their relationship with Jesus, that they don't wait to do that for 5 more minutes. They do it in the next 5 seconds. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.